Welcome to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And we are live today.
Yay! Nice. It's fun to be live. Call us.
It's a nice day. It's a fun day to be live.
Yeah, I like what we're going to do today, Tony. I'm excited.
Well, a lot of people, and you can get involved in this. A lot of people will say to us when they see us, we really like the chef's challenges. Mm-hmm. And we realize we've not done a lot of chef's challenges recently.
Right.
So we wanted to dedicate the program to chef's challenges. So we prepared
dedicated
several.
To the chef's challenge.
That's right.
All right.
We prepared several.
Yes.
With some level of competitive spirit.
Probably more competitive on your side than mine.
No. I would never do that.
Let's see if you gave me some Twinkies.
I would never do that.
You probably gave me Twinkies.
I have no hot dogs on my challenges.
Oh, I'm so happy. Even Vienna sausages? Is that a real thing?
I love those.
Do they still make those?
I love those. My great-grandmother always had them in the pantry.
All right.
And we would love to have people get involved and give a ring and challenge us to collaborate on solving their puzzle.
Right.
And feel free to put hot dogs
challenging.
In those.
Yeah, throw us curveballs, but let's say between 5 and 10 things, you know.
If you want us to make a dish out of, like, dark chocolate, whipped cream, and ketchup, we're not going to. So you probably want 5 to 10 things that could become something that you might
want
to eat.
Tony refuses to do a chef challenge with those items.
It can be any one of those three, just not those three together.
Challenge for Tony and I, and we will both make the food from that challenge.
It could be, it could be what you have in the fridge.
Right.
It could be, that's what you want us to. We can solve all of your very smallest problems.
The smallest of your non-consequential
problems we can solve for you.
Right.
So you can ring us 410-662-8780.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm from Baltimore, for God's sake.
I know.
Or send us an email, foremanwolf@wypr.org. And, I bet you don't know what I was referencing with the ketchup, whipped cream, and melted
dark
chocolate.
Why would I know what you were referencing?
So when I was a kid, I was thinking about the Vienna sausages you mentioned, which made me think of the Three Stooges. And the Three Stooges, of course, we're doing a food and wine program, made me think of the one episode where Shemp is the chef.
Where who is?
Shemp is the chef. He's got to make food.
Uh-huh.
And he combines those three things to make a beautiful sauce for pork chops.
Ew. That's funny. Okay.
Well, yes.
At least
yes,
he didn't have any Twinkies.
So you can get involved, 410-662-8780. And like I said, 5 to 10 ingredients, challenge us. Mm-hmm. Give us stuff that we have no idea what in the world it is.
Oh boy, stop talking, Tony.
Oh, come on.
Let's go. All right.
Like
Scamorza. Hey, Tony, what's in the market right now? I'm going to interrupt your thought there. What's in the market right now? What's exciting? What's coming up locally?
It's Christmas for you because I put a big box of sugar snap peas.
Oh, baby.
That
yum, yum, yum.
Are as sweet as pie.
Oh, I'm so excited.
In your cooler.
Oh, that's good. Cool.
All the berries are coming out of Virginia right now, except for blueberries coming probably this week from the Eastern Shore. So
okay, good.
With strawberry,
the
spring has been reasonable so far.
They have been so unbelievable. It's almost like eating flowers or something.
The ones we're getting from Virginia, yeah.
Oh my gosh, they're so good. I walked by them in the walk-in the other day, and I just grabbed a handful, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they are just like, if you eat like 10 of them at one time.
You would yell at anyone for doing that.
Of course I would. If you like stuff like 20 in your mouth at once, it's awesome. They taste like flowers. They are so good. I've never tasted blueberries that tasted like that. They're so delicious. It's almost like they have perfume in them, in a good way, not in a gross, weird way.
Usually your 9-year-old has, like, it's close to the surface, but not, like, immediately present and speaking until just this past
my 9-year-old?
Yes. with the 20 blueberries at a time.
Oh,
you probably
yeah.
counted them.
I probably did. Yeah, and they were dirty, too. I ate them right off the sheet pan before they were washed. I know.
Wow.
I take a chance. They're so good. They're so good. So go get some. Everybody go to market and get blueberries if they're there.
Well, and
what else is coming up?
Lettuces.
Yeah, lettuces.
I mean, all the lettuces and the first greens.
First things. That's so fun.
The first young vegetables, carrots and
not any old vegetables.
Baby bok choy.
Yeah, just little young.
Well,
ones.
More mature things are are different to deal with, you know. And they are. Yeah, exactly. So you can. Again, I'm going to remind you: you can get involved with the challenges.
Tony wants to not talk about
410-662. Well, I didn't realize the market talk would make you weird.
Okay. Here, I'm giving you a chef's challenge. We're going to get this thing started, Tony. Here you go. Okay. That's my favorite one so far that I did. I did three chef challenges.
So, and all right, like I said, you can get us 410-662-8780 or email us formalwolf@wypo.org.
Stop stalling.
I'm not stalling.
Let's
I haven't
go,
started
buddy.
To read this.
Let's
I
go.
You said these are typed.
You can't just read it.
This is chicken breast, corn, peas, kale, spring onions, ketchup, eggs. Oh, gracias. eggs, lemon, lime, bacon, cheddar cheese, wheat bread, beer.
See? That's a good one. All right. I like that one. I bet everybody has that stuff in the refrigerator except for maybe the corn and the peas. Go for it, Tony.
Oh, I wish I...
Oh, you're stumped.
Well, no. What I want to do is make a beer batter for that chicken breast.
Your time is coming up. It's almost over. Start.
That's not obnoxious at all. What I want to do is stuff that chicken breast with some of the spring onions and the bacon that's rounded off. And
that
a little
seems like
bit
a good
fat.
Idea. That sounds good.
And then I'm going to roll it in some of the wheat bread's breadcrumbs.
Oh, aren't you fancy?
And use the eggs and that dandy beer that you did not give any identity to.
Any beer you want, I'll give you freedom with your beer.
Very lovely.
Okay, no,
as
I take it back.
It's fresh.
It's B-U-D-W-I-E-S-E-R.
Okay, then.
I don't know if that's how you spell that, but...
Okay, we can use that for...
That's the one you're using. You don't get any beer you want. I pick that one.
We can use that for that beer batter for that chicken breast has been stuffed with the bacon and the spring onions. We will wilt that kale a little bit. You're giving me no fat.
Good. You don't like fat.
Oh, that's
you
not
always
so.
Say there's too much fat in this
no,
world.
No, I said there's too much butter in everything you make.
You don't have any fat.
You give me zero fat on this list.
You have
list.
To use water to cook the food.
Wow.
I gave you
kale,
water.
Kale cooked in water is really probably, as healthy as that might be, is not going to appeal to anyone, I don't think.
I didn't give you salt either, or
no,
pepper.
Nope.
I didn't give you anything. You only get to use what's on the list.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to extract the salt from the cheddar cheese you've randomly given me.
Extract the salt on the cheddar cheese.
In an ideal world, there would be some fat.
Yeah.
Even just canola oil.
Uh-huh. But you don't have any.
To wilt that
it's too
kale.
Too bad. Mm-hmm.
And let it steam a little bit.
Because you forgot to buy it at the store. See, this is the problem.
Add the corn and the peas.
Uh-huh.
Give that just a little shot of lemon.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know what to do with the ketchup. I really... You also
you
know that
use,
I can't stand ketchup.
You have to use the ketchup. You also don't like shrimp, which I marked off of one of your chef's challenges because I was being nice.
What I was trying to come up with was a very simple, warm preparation
what you
for
were
the corn.
Trying to come up with?
And the peas and the wilted kale.
You're going to have to boil that kale. It's going to be so healthy. That's the way you like it.
Mm-hmm. Your bananas today.
And, I haven't even had any coffee.
And I guess
imagine
I'm going to
what
have
it would
to,
be like if I'd had coffee.
Use that ketchup as a fine sauce for that stuffed chicken
there
breast.
There you go, fine sauce. All right, good job, Tony.
Gosh.
Yes, you sort of got through that in
I
a way.
Sort of got through that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did not give you any challenge without...
Oil. Or salt and pepper.
I'll give you the most pleasant, easiest one first.
Okay, sure. I'm sure that's not...
All right.
Okay, here we go. Now I have to read your hand away. Beautiful avocados versus the ugly ones. Mangoes.
No, there are some spectacular ones.
Oh, I love avocados so much. I'm glad they're beautiful. Mangoes, jalapeno. Oh, this is a good one. Sweet peppers. Green tomato, Tuscan kale, duck fat. Extra virgin olive oil, lemon oranges, and then tuna, loin, big eye, something, 6 ounce. Portion, 6 ounce.
Who's being kind on Sunday afternoon?
Look at you.
Is it you or is
I'm
it me?
I'm not used to it, Tony. All right, so I'm going to grill the tuna loin. I love big eye. So it's a 6 ounce piece. Just one 6 ounce piece? Or...
6 ounce portions.
Okay.
I don't know how many people you wish to entertain.
I have four people coming over. So we're going to have tuna, and I'm going to grill it. And meanwhile, on the side of the grill, I'm going to have a burner, because this is what I dream about with my grill that I don't have. So I'm going to saute julienne the Tuscan kale. So I'll wash it, julienne it, get the duck fat hot. I'm going to chop up the jalapeno, and I'm actually going to also... So I'll do a... What do I want to do? I'm going to julienne really fine, like almost slivers of jalapeno, and I'm going to keep the seeds. So I'll do the jalapeno, and I'll toss that in with the kale after it's done cooking in the duck fat, which will be pretty quick. And then I'm going to julienne the mango and add that on top of it. So that'll be really fun. And the green tomatoes, I'm going to make a relish with the sweet peppers, the green tomatoes, and a little bit more of the mango and some of the avocado. And add a little bit of lemon. Oh, you know what? You gave me oranges, so I'll just toss in a little bit of fresh orange juice in with the kale at the end. And that's everything you gave me. That was fun.
That's everything you need to make a nice meal, right?
Yeah, that's delicious. That's a fun list. So that was avocados, mango, jalapeno, sweet peppers, green
remember
tomato.
Remember that. I didn't make
Tuscan
you boil
kale,
your kale in water.
Duck fat, extra virgin olive oil. Oh, I didn't use the extra virgin olive oil. Lemon, oranges, a little olive oil in with the kale at the end.
Drizzle on the fish, right?
Or drizzle it on the fish. There you go. Right on, Tony.
We have Libby from Chestertown sent us a note where she wants a dish prepared, so we have to work on this.
Oh, these are our... Oh, good.
Soft
it's
shells,
a chef's challenge.
Soft shells, grits.
All right, Libby.
Garlic scapes and strawberry.
All right. Garlic scapes. I don't really know what that is.
Lots of garlic flavor, but not quite the...
Are they green?
Sweetness. They're green.
Can you sauté them?
You can.
Okay.
It certainly seems like...
This is awesome. We got to have another one. Okay.
It seems like to me you'd want to pan fry those soft shells...
Yes.
And finish them off with
garlic
scapes.
Yeah, with the garlic
scapes
that would be fun. And then serve the grits, which, I mean, obviously we need more ingredients to make the grits. So I like to make my grits with milk, a little bit of tiny bit of butter.
Where can someone get good grits? Because
okay, good grits come from Anson's Mill in Charleston, South Carolina. You can buy them online. They're stone ground from an heirloom variety corn. And in case you're not completely sure what grits are, they are dried corn with the hull removed. And when they're freshly done from this amazing type of corn that used to be grown in South Carolina hundreds of years ago. The flavor is just tremendous. And I like that they're sort of, roughly ground. They're not super fine. So it gives good texture. So just bring the milk up almost to a simmer with, a tiny bit of butter. You do want salt in there from the beginning so that the grits, anytime you're working with a starch like that, you always want the liquid that you're cooking it in to be well seasoned because that's what it's doing. It's absorbing that liquid. So it's going to taste so much better than, say, salting at the end. So that's how you make. And you stir your grits. You really should be in a heavy bottom pan because they'll stick to the bottom of that pan in a heartbeat once they start to get thick. You want to be on low heat, and it takes about 40 minutes to gently cook. And you may have to add a little bit more milk as they're cooking. Depending on what texture you want at the end, if you're like making them and serving them, you may want to add a little bit more milk. So have some extra milk. I think the strawberries.
I gotta have a thought for you for that.
Okay.
What about making a little bit of pepper vinegar with the chili and the strawberries?
Okay,
and
yum.
Using that as a little drizzle for the crispy soft crabs.
I made pepper vinegar last summer when I still had my farm. I bought these crazy peppers. I still don't know. I'm so mad that I didn't realize what they were when I bought them because, of course, I have no idea what they were. But they turned, when they ripened, they went from green to yellow. Oh my gosh. And when they turned yellow, they were one of the hottest things I've ever eaten in my life. And they have such amazing flavor. And so I made pepper vinegar with them and I still have some. I'm super excited to taste it. We tasted it not too long ago. It's still doing really well.
Yeah, I wouldn't keep it much past a year, but.
Yeah, right. Well, I didn't mean to keep it this long. Yeah. It's just been sitting in there. And so to make pepper vinegar, you just bring your vinegar up to a boil, and then I just literally pour it over the peppers. And with these peppers, I kept them whole, thank goodness, because they're so spicy. But, you may want to, if it's a jalapeno or something like that you're making pepper vinegar with. I used to make, when we were in D.C., we had worked in a restaurant that was really low country cooking, and I used to make pepper vinegar from Tabasco peppers, so the red peppers. And so whatever pepper you like, you can make vinegar, just pour it over and then bottle it.
The heat is amplified. That's the one thing.
Excuse me.
Well, I get to say bless you on Sunday. Good.
And then if you want to add strawberry, that's so fun, though. If you want to add strawberries to it, I wouldn't put the strawberries in the vinegar.
No, quite frankly.
I would just add them to the end.
Just add them to the pepper vinegar.
That would be so good with
the
soft
shells.
And then
you get a little sweet, sour, hot.
Oh, gosh. And the fun thing about that, too, is like if you serve all these things together in one dish, the grits will like that pepper vinegar.
Oh, well,
you're so right with that. That'll be fun.
That's the fat and the creamy and, with the sweet, salt, hot. So.
Yeah, and the garlic scapes.
Yeah, that's good.
Have to get some garlic.
Thank you, Libby, for
Thanks, Libby.
Good
that
start
was fun.
On a dish that it's going to end up on somebody's menu.
I have another chef challenge here, Tony.
So let me remind. We have a little stack of nice challenges from listeners that we can work on. You can ring us 410-662-8780, or do what some of these folks are doing, which is just email us foremanwolf@wypr.org. We're dedicated to chef's challenges today. We'll try to sneak a rosé roundup in there as well. All of that and more on Formula Wolf on Food & Wine on WYPR. Welcome back to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And today we're live. We're dedicated to chef's challenges, and you guys are already participating, and that's great.
It's fun.
You can get involved. Give us a call, 410-662-8780. We're looking for you to give us 5, 10 ingredients, and maybe it's the contents of your pantry or...
Or what you want to make soon.
Yeah,
or,
exactly.
Or just to challenge us.
And you can also just email them to us, and we have a few, foremanwolf@wypr.org. We did have a caller who wanted to hear about your asparagus soup recipe, Cindy.
I'm happy to give it out, Wendy. So with asparagus soup, you can look at it in two different ways. One, if you want the asparagus to be really fresh and fresh feeling, you can barely cook or just cook the asparagus al dente. Or if you don't mind cooking it a little bit longer and you want color, you can always add a little bit of spinach to the soup at the end. So you can go either way. So I simply saute onions and shallots and butter. So let's say you're doing soup for 8 people, and that would be 1 onion and a small dice, 2 shallots and a small dice. I saute that gently in butter until it's translucent. You do not want to get any color because it is going to be a cream-based soup, and we are concerned about the color. So work it until it's tender, and then add about a cup of chicken stock. And if you want, if you don't have to, you could just use water and salt if you don't want the chicken in there, and bring that up to a boil and let that simmer for about 15 minutes. And then add, for 8 people, I would add 4 cups of cream. And you want to whisk that into that mixture and let that simmer for another, say, 10 minutes. And then really wash your asparagus well. I can tell you ours comes from Godfrey's Farm on the Eastern Shore, which is very sandy soil. And as that asparagus pushes up, those tips get very sandy. And so you really want to, we soak ours probably at least for an hour before we work with it at all. So you want that sand to gently just fall out of those tips. And obviously with a soup, you don't need to peel it, which is nice. But you do want to cut off the rough end. Now, you don't have to cut off too much of it because you're going to puree the soup and it's just going to add flavor. It's not like you're eating the asparagus boiled or something or blanched. You're actually going to puree it. So you don't have to cut off too much of the end, but I would cut off any end that like is white or looks rough. And the asparagus needs to be very fresh. So I clean it up, wash it, clean it up, cut it into, you know, maybe inch pieces. And then once that soup has simmered or the soup base has simmered that long, then you just throw in the asparagus. And again, this is where you decide, do I want it to be just the asparagus? Then I would only probably cook it in there for about 3 minutes or less. You do want it to boil and then puree it. I will say that I use a VitaPrep, and those blenders are the best things in the world. We used to use Waring blenders. Every single kitchen probably in this country used to always use Waring blenders. They were very available commercially to chefs. And boy, once they started making the VitaPreps, it changed. I mean, I think every chef in the country's life.
And you're not an endorser of
it. I am not an endorser. I'm just saying it is like amazing, I guess, you know. So if you have a high-speed blender like that, it makes a big difference because you actually puree the product more and you get more out of it and you strain out less. So if you were going to cook it longer until it was tender, then just add a couple handfuls of baby spinach, which also needs to be washed, of course, to the blender when you're pureeing. I will say one thing about blending. Please, please, please do not overfill your blender. You really want to stop at like 70%. If you don't have a blender that has a hot lid on it.
Especially with a hot product.
Oh my gosh. It can be one of the, well, and also the blender is very close, for most of us, it's very, well, I'm 5'4", but For most people, it's going to be relatively close to your face and, you know, when you're working on a work table. Please be very careful. Do not overload the blender. And if you don't have a hot lid, which allows the steam to escape, be super careful because you can blow the lid off of that and you will burn yourself horribly. And I will tell you, you know, back in the day, that happened more than once in the kitchen. So not to me, but, you know, you just have to be cautious. And then you strain it, and preferably strain it through a chinois. Okay, that's it. And salt and pepper.
Thanks for the question, Wendy.
Yeah, definitely. All right, should we do?
Yeah.
All right, so
you read these
here
guys.
You go.
All right.
Chef challenge from a guest listener.
This is from Rachel. My ingredients list: a whole rockfish, butter, shallots, sweet corn, arugula, raspberries, mayo, Brussels sprouts, peaches, copa. Okay. Do you want any fruit in your fish dish?
No.
So, I mean, you're going to get a lovely dessert or even just serve it that way, or maybe go buy a piece of cheese to go with. Nice young fresh pecorino.
Mm-hmm. And if you're going to do that, you could slice the copa and serve that with it too. And then,
definitely could do that in the beginning. It's funny, there's a question also about wine pairing. It's like, okay, I'm already imagining Vernaccia di San Gimignano.
And what did you just say, Tony?
Vernaccia di San Gimignano.
Thank you.
It's an appellation in Tuscany for white wine. Okay. Vernaccia is a grape.
Vernaccia.
Dry, clean, light-bodied.
Mm-hmm. So what are the other ingredients? Because you're looking at it and I can't see it, so I can't remember.
Rockfish.
Okay, so let's say with the corn, you know, I like to roast corn in the husk, so... for about 40 minutes at 325 degrees in a convection oven. So if you don't have a convected oven, you're going to take a little longer. And then you take it out of the husk, remove the husk. I'm sorry. Yeah, remove the...
You make the veggies. I'll grill the fish.
Okay. And so once you're done with the corn, you cut it off the cob. Then the fact that she gave us mayonnaise and there's really nothing to add to the mayonnaise. Well, let's just do a little shallot mayonnaise. Which is sort of odd, but we'll serve that with the fish.
That's not bad with corn at all. I mean, honestly.
And then a little corn on the plate. And the arugula, I would just... Well, you said not serving raspberries with the fish, but we could make a little salad with the raspberries and the arugula, which would be yummy, a little side dish. And actually, there's no oil.
A little bit. I'm assuming that she probably has some...
Yeah, let's say raspberry, peaches, and arugula as a salad, because that would be fun. And then you could just julienne the copa, right? That's a cured.
It's right into the salad.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be a great salad. And you could even toss a tiny, because there isn't any oil here, you could toss a tiny bit of the mayonnaise in there just to sort of dress it. You could like julienne the arugula. You could even add the shallots to that. But the butter, I would cook the rockfish, the whole fish. I would roast it in the oven or grill it whole,
I would grill it and grill the shallots, just oil and salt and pepper those.
Okay.
Shallots, split them in half and grill them, let them cook slowly, like on the back of the grill.
And the only thing we're missing there is the, the Brussels sprouts. And with Brussels sprouts, you got to check them while you're cooking them, because you need good salted water, big pot of water, you want them to be not too undercooked. They're just not pleasant that way. But a lot of water, cook them fast as possible, and good salt, and then you can toss those in the butter that she gave us and a little bit of salt and just keep it simple. And that can be your garnish on your fish as well.
All right.
Okay.
Next up, we've got a listener with an excellent email address.
Okay.
Angry Hippie. this is from Harvey. We've been on a Chinese kick lately with our cooking, so our pantry has some interesting ingredients. Beef tongue, fresh fenugreek, fresh spinach, yogurt, fermented black soybeans, red lentils, Sichuan peppercorns, hot chili oil, garlic, ginger. I mean, sounds good to me.
Yeah, that's your kind of chef challenge. Go
for
it, Tony.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I would want to poach that beef tongue with if you have any beef stock, or even if you made a veg stock with mushrooms and a lot of garlic.
I'm impressed that he brought up beef tongue, because I love beef tongue. And you have to know what you're doing when you cook it. And you have to peel it.
You have to poach it, and then cool it, and then peel it.
Right.
And then once you have it peeled, season it again. And
slice it then. That is not something you want big, thick pieces of. It's just too bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, I think you could just warm it up a little bit of the braising liquid again.
Mm-hmm.
And have it sliced thin. once it's warm.
And could sit there waiting for the rest of the dinner to be made, too.
Well, I think you're making two things. You have the ginger and the garlic and the spinach.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even some of the fenugreek, and just do a quick sauté of those guys. The lentils, maybe the lentils as well, almost like a heavier toasted Szechuan peppercorns in a wok or in a pan. Add the lentils. I'm assuming these are cooked lentils, let's say. If not, make them cooked lentils. Water and salt, not too mushy. And you don't want the skins coming off those guys.
I love red lentils. They have almost a certain kind of perfume to them.
They do. That's why I want to so toast good. Those peppercorns in advance.
Yeah, that would be
fun. To kind of add that.
Did he give you any smoked pork product? No, right?
No.
Yeah.
No, this is not Cindy's dream chef's challenge. This is just chef's challenge. Your heaven is you know, the larder is always full of pork product and butter.
That's right. That's not true, actually, but okay. Tony.
Oh, come on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the yogurt. What I want to do is use a little bit of the chili oil and a little bit of the yogurt as like a garnish for the slices. Garnishes.
And even maybe the fenugreek, a little bit finely chopped in there, you know, just to, again, just give it a little scent. Maybe. Yeah. You know, I love yogurt. That would be fun. You know, I think the beef tongue with a little bit of yogurt seasoned like that would be interesting together.
The fermented black soybeans, I would...
Wow.
Add a little bit of sugar and toast that ginger.
Mm-hmm.
And you could probably make little cakes out of those guys.
Fun. I like that. Okay.
And so you're serving the cake, the lentils, the wilted spinach with the ginger and the fenugreek, and then that poached beef tongue sliced in. So it's our best shot anyway, Harvey.
Thank you, Harvey. Do you have another one?
I do.
Okay.
This is outside is what this is.
Okay.
Go for it.
So this is wheat bread, but only the heels.
Someone's living a bitter life.
Oh boy, spam.
Like I said, a bitter life.
Asparagus, a stick of butter.
Is this
slices of cheese your choice? Now that was generous. 6 tomatoes, cream, and a bottle of whiskey. I'm sorry.
Is this out of Luke's pantry, our producer?
Yeah, maybe. Luke, is this your chef challenge? Wheat bread, but only the heels. Spam, asparagus, a stick of butter, slices of cheese. Spam. I don't know.
I mean, are you making ridiculous sandwiches with it?
Well, apparently. So let's make one. Let's make a sandwich with the heels. No, I think we have to grind
You don't
up.
Have any eggs.
I think we have to make breadcrumbs out of the heels of the bread. I mean, we can't make a sandwich
You make
that.
A spam hash. Cheese and grilled tomato sandwich.
Spam hash. Oh. Yeah. Is there potato on there?
Nope.
Okay. Spam hash. Chop it up. Grind it. We could grind the spam and add breadcrumbs to it. And you were talking about making cakes from those fermented beans.
Yeah.
We could make cakes from the spam with breadcrumbs.
Good old-fashioned spam cakes.
And you could put some of the cheese in there just for fun.
Don't forget you have asparagus and whiskey to deal with.
Well, we're going to drink the whiskey. That's easy. The tomatoes, cream.
You're going to need it after dealing with the rest of it. So.
Sorry. Let's make a sauce with the tomatoes. For the spam cake, and we're going to cook that spam
cake. Tomato whiskey sauce?
In the butter, and we'll make a tomato whiskey sauce, and we'll put a teaspoon of cream in the tomato whiskey sauce, so we've used his cream, or her, him.
Well,
Bobby.
You could, the asparagus, you could
that's
also.
That's gross. That's just really good.
Yeah, Bobby.
Thank you, Bobby.
Bobby, thank you.
That was a challenge.
You grossed us out.
That was a challenge.
All right.
Okay, so then here's another one. This is from our favorite, Willis and Waverly. So I went to...
I don't know if he's our favorite.
All right.
He's certainly top five.
Okay. I went to market yesterday and got spinach, not the baby stuff, Swiss chard, strawberries, tons of different mushrooms. So that's exciting. Eggs and chicken. Thoughts? Okay. So I say roast the chicken this time. So roast the chicken. Swiss chard and spinach. I would wash the chard really, really well.
Why don't you use the chard to make a bread stuffing with the mushrooms?
Okay.
You know, and there's nice spring onions available and these days. And
but there aren't any spring onions on here.
It doesn't mean you shouldn't go back to market. I like Willis,
cheating,
but I'm not going
to
do it all for him.
All right. Okay, so, and the mushrooms, eggs. Okay. So, did we do it?
No.
Okay, there you go.
No, it was just a starting place.
I want to make sabayon for the strawberries.
Well, that's...
They're eggs.
No.
We could steal some whiskey from the other person's chef's challenge.
Should we assume that there is sugar in Willis's pantry?
Yes, I think that Willis would certainly have some sugar and some Madeira. And that way we could really make sabayon for the strawberries.
Not everyone wants alcohol in their sabayon.
Okay, so maybe just sugar and eggs and maybe some vanilla in the sabayon. Ooh, vanilla beans would be nice in the sabayon.
Yeah.
And then you just whisk the egg yolks. You only use the yolks. Whisk it over a double boiler on very low heat so you don't cook those eggs. And you whisk. It takes like 15 minutes to whisk the eggs. You get a workout doing that. So you just whisk, whisk, whisk over a little warm water.
I would save some of the eggs and whatever the most delicate mushrooms are to make breakfast the next day.
That would be yummy.
You know?
Yeah.
Eggs, mushrooms, and toast is... You know, like if you have really pretty morels or chanterelles or
that's a great
hen of the woods or something.
Breakfast.
You know, you make like a little mushroom toast and have a just sunny side up egg for it.
You could just saute the spinach and the chard together.
Yeah.
Por qué no?
You just don't like vegetables that much. That's what the
that's
problem
not
is.
True. Okay.
Don't respect their individuality. All right, here's your next from me.
Okay.
Okay, have fun with that.
Pulled roasted chicken. Something from yesterday. What's that say? Okay, so then there's...
Pulled, roasted, chicken, mixed, dark meat, white meat,
from
yesterday.
Oh, okay, mixed. Okay. Sprouts, basil, lemon, balsamico, parmigiano, celery, carrots, frisée, sugar peas, excuse me, and extra virgin olive oil, salt, and pepper. Sprouts. So, obviously, I'm making chicken salad.
Yes.
And I like the idea of the balsamico and the parmigiano in there. I would definitely just do a small dice of the celery. I'm going to do a little bit of a thin bias cut on the celery because you want some texture from that, especially with the chicken being pulled. And you could do a brunoise, the smallest of dice of the carrots, which would be yummy in there. And the sugar peas, definitely add that to it. I mean, literally, you can just add all of these things. I think the sprouts and the basil with the lemon on the side to give you a little bit of refreshment. I would just snip the basil, toss that with the lemon and a little bit of the extra virgin olive oil, salt and pepper. I said that probably already. And the frisée. And then you have this nice little fun salad that's crunchy and fresh to go with the chicken salad.
Now you know what I wanted for lunch.
Yeah, that
it's just a big chopped chicken salad.
I like the idea of the balsamico and Reggiano in a chicken salad with celery, a lot of celery. That would be fun. I like that. Okay, here's yours, Tony.
Well, good.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? Let's take a little quick break.
Okay.
You can get involved in the Chef's Challenges. You can give us a ring, 410-662-8780, or email us, as a number of folks have done. Send us an ingredients list, 5 to 10 things. Make it challenging, make it nice, like I'm trying to make them today. Foreman Wolf at WYPR.org is the address. And we'll be back shortly with more on Foreman Wolf on Food and Wine on WYPR. Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
We're live today. We're dedicated to Chef's Challenges today for each other and from listeners. We've had some excellent ones so far. One or two wacky ones, which keeps keep us honest. You can ring us 410-662-8780 or email with 510 ingredients or go bananas. Foreman Wolf at WYPR.org. And let's go to Bill in Reisterstown, who, I already appreciate this, Bill, has a spam story.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, folks.
So what you got?
So, okay, this was about 30 years ago when I was just starting off in my cooking odyssey. And, I decided to be a little creative with my college funds and try to make something. I was trying to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear kind of thing. And I had a block of spam, and I made the errant decision of doing a whole block of spam shake and bake.
It was the
filthiest thing in the world. 30 years later, I'm still dehydrated from it.
Well, yeah, you're taking basically pork fat you know, with salt and every preservative in history, and you're coating it in every other preservative in history all over again.
Oh my gosh! Wow. Did your friends?
And I served it with
40 beers.
With what?
Honey buttered carrot.
Oh, golly!
Wow,
that's interesting. All right,
That is an '80s carrot preparation right there.
Yes, it is. Yes, it
that's
is
awesome.
Very much.
Thanks, Bill.
Who did you serve it to?
Myself and my roommate, and he was not happy.
Did he move out over it?
Well, no, but he just made sure that I bought the beer next time. So.
Yeah,
that's funny. That's awesome. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. We hope you've grown up.
I have, very much so.
Oh, my gosh.
Awesome. Oh, gosh. So that reminds me of college. So this kid that lived a couple of floors down below, we had a communal kitchen. So we were all drinking beer one night, and I know that's probably hard to believe.
Well, as much as you complain about beer.
Oh, well, that's why I don't drink beer anymore, because I drank it in college.
Because you were thorough.
Yeah. I just don't like the way it tastes, quite frankly. I'm sorry. That's just me. But we used to make this dip from one container of cream cheese, a can of Hormel chili, no beans, and just heat it up in a pot, which probably had, you know, like holes in it. I mean, these pots they had in that kitchen were so gross, and they were all bumpy on the bottom. A little side note there. And serve it with tortilla chips. And, like, everybody loved it. It was very popular. Simple thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Was there anything else
that's before
besides
I was a
the
chef.
Beer?
That was the no. That was college, not culinary school, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did go to college for a little while. Mm-hmm. All right. It's your chef challenge time.
Oh, really?
Yes, here.
All right. Hey, let's see. Oh.
Okay.
This is a fancy typed one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's fat. So I can cook something. Whole Maine lobster, butter, basil, tarragon, tomato. Arugula, all citrus, raspberry vinegar, all oils.
Mm-hmm, the opposite of the last challenge.
Good Lord. Flour, eggs, cornmeal, milk, cream, onion, shallot, celery, carrots, squash blossoms, buffalo milk, mozzarella. Okay.
That's quite the list.
It's concise, if nothing else.
Mm.
Oh, well, see, yeah, the first thing, I mean, when I look at a list like this, first thing I think is, what do I want to eat?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, I mean... It makes me want, like, savory cornmeal cakes,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you have the ingredients for that. You'd want to use the shallot and the squash blossoms and those guys, I think.
What do you mean, in them or with them?
Literally in them.
Oh.
I mean, cut the squash blossoms with scissors,
mm-hmm.
Sweat the shallots until they're nice and sweet,
mm-hmm.
and then basically make all but a paste out of them,
okay.
and make those shallots part of your batter and incorporate at the very end of making the batter. With the eggs and the cream and the milk and a little bit of oil, you would, and in a perfect world, let's say walnut oil, you'd make your batter and then you would incorporate those ribbons of the squash blossoms right in there. And I would do multiples of those guys and I would put some of the buffalo milk mozzarella,
mm-hmm.
season it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's never quite as salty as you want it to be,
right?
And put that in between two of those guys, and then toast them, and then cut them into little, you know, like quarters,
mm-hmm.
a little squirt of lemon. I would mm-hmm. eat that all day with some of that arugula chopped.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, I think so. And then the other thing I want to eat from these ingredients are poached lobster and tomatoes, and. You could make almost like a little compound butter, or you could do whipped cream with butter that was room temp, incorporated with lots and lots of the basil and a little bit of that raspberry vinegar and a little bit of lemon peel, and make essentially like a cold sauce or cold, you know, almost like a mousseline,
mm-hmm.
For the lobster. You would want to poach the lobster, cool it, crack the shell, reserve the shells to make soup or something with later on.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, just that and... Good extra virgin olive oil and a little bit of lemon and orange is a nice combination for the lobster itself.
Okay.
But yeah, that's so. Yes, I want to eat little strange little grilled cheese sandwiches and lobster salad. I'm having a salad day.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's summertime or almost summertime. We think that way now.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. You have your choice. Do you want your last challenge, or do you want to talk about rosé?
Let's talk about rosé.
Okay. So I was shocked. I gave you a half glass of rosé, and just like beer, you said to me,
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like rosé. Yes.
But then magically, with the food that you were having,
it was perfect. I really enjoyed it.
You're having it with tomatoes and goat cheese and green salad. And so the one that I gave you that initially you were like, oh, I can't stand this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you...
Yeah. And that's the difference.
Drunk it happily.
Because the difference for me was the fact that the perfect food was with it. I still wouldn't like to just drink that wine. Well, you know,
choosing something for your porch and choosing something to enhance your meal are two different things.
Right. And it was perfect because that salad also had strawberries on it. And it was just all delicious. So what was that salad? It was tomatoes, strawberries, goat cheese mousse. Yeah, it was so good with the rosé.
Well, it's one thing about a lot of rosés, especially Mediterranean rosés, is that they connect with, they can deal with the acidity in tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
They can deal with strong vegetable flavors. And in the summertime, you have a lot of those things going on.
Mm-hmm.
The sort of like the sin of like a rich glass of Chardonnay a lot of times, let's say, is that the acidity is not present enough, the alcohol is high, and that the oak influence, that vanilla flavor that can often be there, or that like pastry shop sort of flavor that can be there, that's not nice for, let's say, asparagus or zucchini. I mean, it makes the wine taste like zucchini. No one wants like a rich, expensive glass of zucchini Chardonnay.
No.
Sorry. I mean.
Yeah. So what rosés, are there any rosés that...
Well, the one that I gave you is one that's a really good value. The producer is Domaine Fonsainte, Fonsainte. And that bottling is called Gris de Gris. And Gris de Gris, gray from gray, right?
Yeah.
Part of the large majority of that wine, a little more than two-thirds, are two Grenache grapes. One is Grenache Noir, the same red that goes on the Chateauneuf du Pape. And one is Grenache Gris that gives much paler. And you notice how pale that rosé was.
Mm-hmm. It was, yeah.
It was almost like an apricot-y kind of color. That and some of the other Rhone varietals are pretty normal to find. Mourvèdre, Sansot, Carignan are all in that. But it's only like 12.5% alcohol, which is relatively low compared to what most winemaking styles are these days.
Mm-hmm.
Rosés in general are not big alcohol. On a hot day,
yeah, I didn't realize
when you're going to be thirsty,
mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
that's not a bad idea. So that's one basic that I think that's good to have around. Another classic, and this is another French rosé, probably the place most famous for rosé is Tavel. It's a village in the Rhone Valley, T-A-V-E-L. And one that's, I'm not even going to spell it, Chateau Trincavadel. Look for the Tavel bottling, a tall, skinny bottle, which is traditional there, that has the longest name that starts with a T, and it'll be that one. And that's all from Grenache, and super charming, and very strawberry.
Mm-hmm.
There's no sweetness in these wines. There's no residual sugar in these wines. They're clean. They smell sweet, but they have the freshness and the intensity of flavor to deal with a lot of the cooking this time of the year.
How is rosé made? Why is it pink?
There are a couple of different methodologies. Some are just made from scratch to be intended to be rosé.
Mm-hmm.
Which means it's very short time on the skins. The color in red wine comes from the skins. The flesh inside all the grapes is essentially the same color.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly, but it's all pretty pale. The skins are what give the color on any wine. If you remove the skins quickly, that's the common way, let's say, in Tavel. If you're in a number of other places, make rosé as a byproduct of making red wine that they want to be more intense. So if you're making that, let's say, in Sancerre, or if you're making it in Bordeaux, or a lot of producers in California, like our guest a couple of weeks ago, Eva Dellinger. Dellinger makes excellent Pinot Noir rosé, but they do it in a saignée method, which saignée is French for it to bleed. You're just basically bleeding the tank off. You're taking some of the juice away early on, so there's less juice in contact with more skins.
Okay.
To give more color and more intensity and more tannin to what's the red wine. But the byproduct is really charming to drink as a young wine. But those are two big favorites. Dellinger is another big favorite. And I think my favorite the last couple of vintages has been this producer in the Languedoc. There's a village, Pic-Saint-Loup. So three words, P-I-C, Second word is saint. And then loup, L-O-U-P, wolf. Mm-hmm. You know that one, right?
I do.
Pixon loup. And the producer is Chateau Lancier, L-A-N-C-Y-R-E. And Lancier makes rosé from all Mourvèdre. And so darker flavors, a little bigger body, a little more intensity. And frankly, like if you're having, let's say you're having grilled lamb and you want, and you're sitting outside, you don't want a giant, dense red wine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this, in July when you do that and you put a bunch of veggies on the grill, you know, that carries it off very nicely.
That's interesting.
So that's a bigger bodied one. And my secret weapon, Rosé, is a producer in Calabria, Ippolito. Ippolito, I-P-P-I-L-I. T-O, or something along those lines. Ippolito, it's just phonetic. Gallioppo is the grape. It's been growing there 3,300 years.
Wow.
And they make a Sagni Rosé from the Gallioppo in Ciro, the C-I-R-O, that area along the coast. And the stuff is like spicy, zesty. You want pasta with veggies and some heat to it. That kind of thing. If you like a little spicier Mediterranean cooking, That's a great one to look for. Okay. All of these are under $20 retail. I mean, there's
which is
no
great. That's fun.
There's no big money commitment. Mm-hmm. Let's and we had a question about rosé from Jake in Pikesville. Is there a general rule to follow with rosé for best regions? Should I be looking for French, Cali, any East Coast producers? Also, is it a total no-no to put an ice cube in a glass? We'll go backwards on this. I'm not going to judge you. As much as I might want to for putting an ice cube in your glass of rosé, if you want it colder and or diluted, then you do that. It will have less flavor, so that's totally your choice. East Coast producers, I've not had rosé from East Coast producers that I've liked in a long time. It doesn't mean they don't exist. I just have not come across them. California, there are some. Another one besides Dalinger that's excellent is there's a Sangiovese rosé from a producer, Alexander Valley Vineyards. It's often a good purchase. And zesty, big-bodied, relatively fruity. And that one has a tiny little bit of residual sugar. I mentioned a number of good French producers. Sometimes you get a Rioja Rosé. But anyway, thanks very much for participating in our Chef's
fun.
Challenge program. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to do this again sometime soon. You can reach us with other communications or challenges off-air. ForemanWolf@WIPR.org. You can download this if you missed any or any of the other episodes on our podcast. Go to the WYPR website, WYPR.org. Look for the Foreman Wolf page, and there's a full menu of goodies there. You can follow Chef Cindy Wolf on social media.
You can follow me on Twitter as Chef Cindy Wolf and on Instagram as Chef Wolf.
My infrequent Instagram is the real Tony Foreman. Thanks so much for listening.
Happy Sunday. Mm-hmm.